Hello?
Hello?
Hi, we don't know what happened. Apparently,
I was going to say, yikes, what happened?
it crashed. I don't know. Oh, I don't know. We'll just pick it up where we left off. Yeah, I don't know if he said David was hosting it. He said it crashed and it booted him. We'll find out from him. Oh, he just requested to speak. David, you there? What happened to you?
Ari, make somebody else a co-host so that if it happens again, the space still stays up.
I was... Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So let me make you invite as co-host. And also invite Vasilia. So, David, are you there? Okay, let's give it a second to join. Okay. We're just waiting for... Hey, Nick, welcome back.
When threads spaces, so we don't have to deal with rugging anymore.
The next one.
You know, I had this idea, Nick. You know, this is our first space, so like, I'm not. You have a lot more experience. Has this happened to you before? Have you seen this? Where like
the place is hearing all the time. I feel like this is like one of the main like grievances of Twitter these days, especially in the. It's different, I guess, like when Udi's on a space and he'll have like 2,000 people and then it just like in the middle of a sentence, just like that, everyone just gets rugged out of nowhere.
Wow. That's I had this idea that, you know how like in messengers you have two checks, like sent and read? Sometimes like in Twitter, like you're not sure if they hear you. It would be great if you had like a green light, like your online button, like your audio is being transmitted properly.
Because that's a good point.
I always hear people be like, can you hear me? And there's like a delay because like their reception's not good. And it's like, you know, when you have a lot of people, there's a big delay and it's like a bunch of people talking over each other.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
You want to send this to Gary though? Sorry, not Gary. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sending it around.
Just send it to his DM to get him back on. And we'll just continue where we left off.
I mean, these are growing pains, right? It's not your first or second Twitter space until you get rugged. So this is like initiation.
Right? I guess so. This is Twitter's growing pains, not mine. I'd rather leave myself up to my own challenges of growing pains. Okay. I guess we'll just resume.
Let's just keep it moving. Even if it is a smaller group, I think it could make for a very quality discussion.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's recorded, right? So it'll be posted after.
Yeah, that's correct. David, did you record the first one?
I did, yes.
Okay, cool. So Gary was finishing saying about having that institutional level software. Because of the accounting, and just to add a comment to what he was saying, that I think there are a lot of softwares out there. One of them is Integral, Vasilia we have here with us, and then there are a lot of shabby ones. Like David and I are working on a client I'm not going to say which software it is, but...
No, don't.
No, I'm not. But, like, some of the transactions don't actually get pulled into the software. So you think you're looking at a full ledger of a full accounting of all the transactions that occurred on a specific wallet. But then you find out that you're missing a payment and you're like, wait, how is that possible? And you look on the blockchain and you're like, wait, why is this payment, this Ether transfer, this USDC transfer not showing up? And it's like frustrating because, you know, on one hand it works, but it doesn't work 100% of the time. So it's basically not working. But
100%. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go for it. Finish your thought.
No, and I think the space, these softwares is a couple of good softwares out there. And I think as the regulatory environment becomes friendlier and more clear, businesses slowly will buy these assets, and then businesses will slowly transact on these blockchains. And then it'll just come together with a higher demand, means more resources to invest in these softwares, meaning better products. So I think it's natural that the development, the innovation is many steps ahead of the accounting solution, because like Gary said, accounting is not sexy. Maybe to David and I it is, but to most people it's not. Yeah. So what were you going to say?
No, I was gonna say that's definitely true. I think we've seen that too with some clients, where people will come from, you know, even just using spreadsheets or using another software, and it's not sexy, so people don't want to necessarily invest the time or the money, and then they'll come to us. For example, we've got something that's kind of a comparison with the Block Explorer to let you know that things match up, right? So you don't have to go look into the Block Explorer itself. You have like that confidence in the software to know that all the transactions are in there. But it's true. Sometimes it's a hard pitch. It's like there's so many really interesting, creative things happening in this space. It's hard to kind of like pull the discussion and the attention to some of, you know, the accounting and the treasury side. But it's the foundation for being able to focus on all the other stuff, right? Because if you don't have your books in order, if you don't have all of that kind of lined up, then you don't really have the headspace to focus on, you know, growing your business in a way that's like productive and that you can actually focus on the interesting stuff. So 100%, I think you've definitely seen that. And I think people are trying to catch up in terms of software. It's just to have their books in order. Something we've seen, I'm sure you guys have seen it too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, as Arya said, like the space has to develop, and then it needs to be adopted by users, and then it needs to be enough demand to, you know, honestly come and piss off the software providers like Chris and Vasilia and, you know, your companies, where, you know, you guys have to have the devs start to work on it and then be able to offer something that will, you know, be able to intake those types of transactions or what have you. So that whole process takes many months. But what Gary was saying, I definitely agree with. REA and I spoke to over, you know, 24 companies that are trying to hack this. And, you know, I think, Chris, I'd love to hear your side of this, but I think it's difficult, right? It's difficult to create the product, to have a support team who could help the clients who are on the platform to actually succeed in using it. And not just for 1 year, but for several years. But he's right, right? Like you can't have missing transactions when you're, for example, the client we had that Arya mentioned, when you're, constantly operating on a blockchain that records every single transaction. So if someone comes in the future, you know, this statute, I think for the SEC or for IRS in America is 7 years or what have you, but if they come in the future, something where they go back and see all your transactions, right? Like, and there's missing ones that you didn't record, and it's at scale and it's large, you know, numbers, like in the millions, then what, right? Like, then what happens? You know, things start to collapse. And when you're an individual, it's a little bit less impactful, right? But when you're a large corporation, I mean, you can't let things like those fall through the cracks. I would love to see, you know, if Chris, I don't know if he wants to also speak about this, but he has a lot of insight.
Yeah, he's welcome to speak. I sent him an invite. He might not be able to speak at the moment. If he is at a later time, feel free to request to speak. We have, you know, two speakers here from, I would say, like, oh, I see Lenny's hands is raised. Yeah, I'm going to go to you in 1 second. We have two speakers here from, I would say, maybe the furthest sides of the crypto Bitcoin industry. So we have Nick from, you know, Ordinals, building on Ordinals on the actual Bitcoin blockchain. And we have Lenny and Solana, you know, building applications on Solana. So we'll first go to Lenny. I'm curious, A, if you have any comments on what we're just talking about, but specifically in the Solana ecosystem, like, are you familiar with the accounting solutions that exist there? What do you like about them? Or maybe you don't like them. What would you like to see? Love to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, it happens to be, I also have what to say on Ordinals, but we'll leave that maybe for later. but yeah, so, I mean, I would just to you know, echo what was saying on before, but I think the issues that you're seeing across whether it's ETH or Bitcoin or any of these other chains is the same thing that's going to happen on Sol. And I think it's more so of a, I think it's there's a couple points to it. So first off is lack of clarity and understanding of what you're supposed to be, you know, declaring. How are you supposed, like, what type of transactions are these, and therefore, like, what are the implications for your accounting based off of it? And I think people are left with this feeling. It's like, well, because nobody really knows, then therefore, like, just do nothing, and like, maybe I'll have to deal with it one day. Maybe I won't. I mean, it's a silly thing to think of because we know that Coinbase and major CEXs are sharing info with IRS and everybody else. So, you know, you're going to get hit for certain things. And I think it's really just like this false feeling of comfort that because they haven't been going after people like actively, and, you know, you go onto crypto Twitter and, you know, you don't see posts every day like, oh, I just got hit by the IRS for blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not something that's in your face. And so I think you kind of get lost in this feeling of comfort that because it's not so clear and easy what to do, therefore, you know, kind of just do nothing and I'll deal with it when I have to. And I think for like a larger scale corporations, I mean, I think that's more so on like the retail side of things. And I think like for larger corporations, it's a matter of just not wanting to deal with it there, you know, themselves. And I think there aren't, you know, I mean, for us at Blank Page, for example, like we were also looking for accounting solutions. And especially when you started getting into DeFi, it was impossible. Like there was nothing that was linking one to two. I mean, we found, obviously, there's a couple of solutions that, you know, with the help of others, which I think is the main point here of what I'm trying to make, right? That there isn't that solution, that plug and play solution yet, where just plug in your wallet and you're going to get everything you want. You do still need this sort of oversight and guys like, you know, on-chain accounting and seemingly some of the other speakers on here that are offering services like this. So, and it's almost like it depends on how active you are in the space. Like if you're just trading on CEXs, that's probably like the easiest thing to get over. But as soon as you start talking about, you know, getting into DeFi products and getting into NFTs, the biggest issue we had, which is actually something that we're tackling at Blank Page Studio with Refresh from a retail standpoint, is, you know, understanding the connection between one and two. So, for example, you bought the Ethereum or Bitcoin or Solana on X date for X price. So we'll use Solana as an example. So you bought it in March for $18. Now you bought an NFT 2 months later, you know, for say one Sol, and Sol at the time was worth $21. So your cost basis with current applications that work right now is going to show you that your cost basis on the NFT is $21 because that's what the one Sol was worth. But really it was your Sol prior that you bought at $18. That's your initial cost basis. And that ability to link the one to the two in order to, you can get, you know, what you're, the equation that you're trying to output that you're trying to get, is it's currently like a big pain point for everybody in this space. So from a retail side of things, that's where Refresh, something that we're building at GenFT at Blank Page, is coming to solve.
That's very interesting and a really good point that you make. Do you think it will ever be automatic where like you paste in an address and you know, it can like populate.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're gonna have to, like, as the space continues to grow. I mean, like, you look at regular tax software right now when it comes to, you know, regular TradFi, right? Most of the services and CXs, they prepare the forms for you. You know, you just go onto QuickBooks or whatever it is, or you can pay the guy down the block for $50. You know, they have these signs and billboards all over, and your average regular guy can get his stuff done, right? We're nowhere near something like that for crypto, right? But there's going to have to be some time in the future where that can be done. Like, it can't be like it is right now, where it's so complicated, right? Like, especially when you start talking about like high frequency traders, or even not even like on an institutional level of high frequency, but even just your regular day traders that are running through, you know, a couple of trades a day, it adds up very, very quickly between OTC trades, and then have to remember what the specific value on certain things were, you know, trading on DeFi protocols, tracking your APY and like these like staking returns that you're getting. Like, it is a lot of moving pieces to expect your average person to do it correctly. So there's going to have to be a time where something like this is done. But I think it's more so things built on top of explorers. I don't think it's a matter of blockchain explorers evolving. I think it's more so things being on top, built on top of them. So creating instructions, probably using ML and AI to recognize specific type of transactions, categorize them correctly, attribute correct values, and then spit out the correct outputs and forms that you'd need. But I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people that are thinking about things like that.
Yeah. Vasily, you wanted to say something on this?
Oh yeah, just earlier. I mean, I definitely think we were chatting about Solana, and I think that's one of the ecosystems that's so, you know, tricky to deal on because it's newer, because there's so much activity going on. And I know, like, for example, at Integral, we built our integration from scratch, and it's kind of what you said. It's like just being able to pick up everything on that Block Explorer is something like where, you know, we're able to do. And the reason we had to build it from scratch was just because you're right. It's so tricky to be able to feel like you can actually really trust that data. And so we're like, well, we'll just do it ourselves. and I think it's so true. There's when you're going into DeFi in particular, I mean, there's so many, you can create a smart contract to do so many things, right? So just like catching up to that is a constant, you know, task and build. And you've always got to have like a team behind you for sure. But I think in the NFT space, that's something like we've built out too. I think it's kind of curious, just being able to track some of that, the cost basis. That was something we were pretty excited to be building out as well. So, yeah, it's cool to hear that these are things that like people are asking for in the space, or we're definitely heading in that right direction. But there's always, I feel like every week I have a client that kind of just chats about something different that they need, that they want to build out, especially in the DeFi space. A constantly moving target, I think.
Yeah, it's a game of catch up. These developers, they're all over the world, conspiring on Discord, building these wild smart contracts, and they spring up a website, they get a bunch of people to buy their token, and now everyone's like, okay, how come I don't see this in Integral, you know? And yeah, it's like there's thousands of them. I don't know about thousands, but yeah, hundreds of these on every chain. So that I guess equals thousands. Nick, how's it going by you? What have you seen in the ordinal space as it relates to accounting? Anything?
It feels like, I mean, I definitely, one of my just overarching questions on everything is, are Bitcoin fungible? And I mean, I guess that's my first question. Are they, for the accounts in the room?
Yes.
Okay. So then that's like, very interesting. When it comes to the ordinals, I have no idea how this stuff is going to end up getting taxed. I do see some tweets that are like, don't even ask me how I'm going to figure out my ordinals nonsense by the end of the year. I'll quickly just go back, because I feel like one of the themes we're discussing here is like how, if we're like kicking the can down the road a little bit in development, am I if I'm hearing it correctly, and like when do these things kind of come back and bite you? And it's like, Even a place like Coinbase, like, what was it that they don't support, like, some type of Taproot wallet address on Bitcoin? There's one mode that they don't necessarily support. They definitely don't have any coin control to be able to recognize, like, these, you know, quote unquote NFTs on Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And like that kind of stuff gets me wondering as well. Like, at some point, who has to like care enough and like who has to like have rules around these things? At what point does Coinbase have to, you know, that they can't kick the road down the road, that they can't kick the can down the road any longer, and they do have to kind of support these weird primitives that like something like Bitcoin might allow. And then of course, like, it's kind of on Coinbase's hook to provide you your information, right? Don't they like, they give you like some type of report to send your accountant and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm kind of rambling a little bit here, but there's like so many different pieces that are being impacted by it. And I'm wondering, I don't know. I mean, which one gets solved first, right? Is there like a, I mean, I don't know, as accountants, are you guys thinking about ordinals at all? It hasn't even probably hit your radar in a way that like you really have to start caring about it, right?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the answer is no, because people aren't sending payments on the Bitcoin blockchain as inscript, you know, as in, like the stablecoin inscriptions. So until that happens, I don't think it's going to come up. But to your other question about like Coinbase adopting a standard to allow these inscriptions, these ordinals, to be recognized on their platform. It's an interesting point. So I guess that will change with the demand of retail, of users, and if Coinbase wants to be relevant in that little circle. As far as taxes go, not to get into taxes really on this conversation so much, but I mean, it's if you bought something which is like art, essentially what these JPEGs are, and then someone else paid you more for it and you sold it as a profit, that's your obligation to report that, not Coinbase's. So, it ultimately falls upon you, the taxpayer, to report that. But yeah, it's a really interesting question. How far are we from seeing people send like stable coins on Bitcoin, or maybe are we going to see that really on the Lightning Network through the tower upgrade?
Yep, that's one avenue that it could take. I think we're definitely closer than it feels like. We're definitely closer than it looks. I think the first question, and really when it's discussed and like we talk about it internally at Deep Lake, I'm discussing it all the time on, you know, if I'm just like talking to other Bitcoin people and whatnot, I'm always so concerned about what is the medium in which we are like moving this value, right? I mean, like you mentioned the TapAs upgrade, right? The Taproot asset protocol. That is like, that's one avenue. You also got, interestingly, like BRC20, which are these ordinals types of coins that also technically works and it would kind of get the job done. That to me is like the very first thing to solve for, like where's the liquidity actually living, on what standard, through a protocol where we all kind of agreeing at the same time. And then I would say, though, if that's solved and it's Bitcoin native, right? So like these two things get conflated a lot as well. I see, you know, people just, it's kind of just, I think it's like used as a marketing term where people say Bitcoin backed. And I think people hear Bitcoin native, right? But like Bitcoin backed, technically, you know, you got some DAI that's Bitcoin backed, right? If they allow wrapped Bitcoin as a collateral type, you're a few layers away from actual Bitcoin. It's not necessarily the same thing. But technically they can say, oh yeah, this is a little bit of Bitcoin backed. Meanwhile, Bitcoin native, obviously in ERC-20, is native to ETH, right? So like, how are we actually moving this stuff on the Bitcoin chain? It's like so not possible. It's like the only solutions that you hear sound like Rube Goldberg machines, right? Like it's all slapdash. It's all kind of just hacked together. Like this BRC-20 solution is so obscure and like not elegant, but it's also gaining adoption. And at some point it had a market cap of $1 billion. And that kind of just makes all the developers figure, well, we can actually get stuff done here. And people are going to use it. Like adoption is kind of showing, like people are trading, people are playing around. A lot of people are kind of already getting liquidity committed for this type of thing. And so how far from it? I would say by the end of the year, we're going to start seeing this stuff pop up. I mean, I'm like waking up extra moment that we're in, because I do think that we're in it right now.
Yeah, that's super exciting. Sooner the better. Before the year's out, that would be amazing.
What do you want to see? Do you want to see? I also saw Lenny's hand come up. I don't want to See, yeah, please. Go. I can rant. I can wait for way too long.
I was just gonna add in. I mean, because I think the reality is, like, it was just some of the points that you were just mentioning and to expand on it. So originally my thought was, and obviously I took a big L on this, you know, I'm happy to admit it, but, you know, I had the opportunity, because funny enough, the guys that were starting Ordinals and everything came from Solana, right? So, and I was very close with some of the individuals there. And I had an opportunity to get OMBs and to get all the sort of different things that are now worth significant amount of money. And I will gladly admit the L that I was standing on this sort of, you know, personal hill battle that I created, that I felt that Bitcoin, I felt that they were like screwing around with the purity of Bitcoin. And like, I got into Bitcoin in 2013. And like, it sort of like became like, it's like the gold standard. And it's like, why are you trying to do all these things that it's not meant to do? Because there's more liquidity. Like, at first I didn't get it. I didn't see it. So I totally faded everything. I faded all the whitelist opportunities that I had. I totally faded everything. And obviously the market proved me wrong. I mean, there's enough, you know, like you were mentioning, like BRC20, like these things had significant market caps. You're seeing these NFTs, these ordinals going for significant amounts of money. And it's not just all Solana people. You know, there's definitely this influx of liquidity that's there. And for a while it was doing really well. So yeah, it's cooled off. But I think the market has shown enough interest that it's something that's here to stay. And therefore, like, I've personally changed, obviously, my entire outlook of it. And it's sort of like, you know, don't be the last guy fighting something out of principle, just because, again, you know, just out of principle kind of thing. Like, you know, understand what the market wants and is interested in, and then continue playing with it. And for us, that means the possibility of, you know, I guess maybe a little alpha for whoever listens to this. It may not be the right crowd for it, but, you know, we're possibly releasing an ordinal collection ourselves as part of the GenFT brand. And we're also integrating ordinals into Refresh. So you'll have, you know, this portfolio manager and this digital collectibles organizer work for ordinals as well, right? So that's how we're personally acting upon it. And to further what Nick was saying, I think he's right. I think although it's currently hard, I think developers are viewing it as an opportunity. And if you can create seamless, easy, like methods to things that weren't, you know, Bitcoin is not meant to do, but with enough work can make them done correctly. Like, even now, you know, like, there's still a race on wallets. And I know, like, Chartfoo, for example, is like constantly screaming on Twitter, you know, like that for these guys, whether it's Xverse or any of these guys to start integrating Ledger, because it's just not there yet, right? And it's like, you got to imagine that there is a lot of people out there looking, recognizing that base, especially based off the volume, like, that's a lot of money that can be made if you're the first one to come out with the correct solutions. So you got to think that there's a lot of people out there viewing this as a massive opportunity. And I think we're going to start seeing a lot of these products come out sooner than we think.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Thanks for sharing that alpha with us, Lenny.
It's interesting to me that you guys are considering an ordinals project. It's almost like, but I can imagine, I believe me. And by the way, don't feel bad, Lenny, about missing any boats on ordinals. I was there week one with my ordinals wallet up and running. I have like some really early inscriptions, which is like the only thing that I can really say, but I was in ordinals for the entire duration of it being built. And I was not playing the whitelist game or doing any of this stuff. Right. So I'm like, I'm watching it all happen. I don't regret anything. I mean, it's very interesting. You know, I think if you're not playing that game, at some point we become beneficiaries of it anyway, because now they all kind of raise some money and now they're talking to us anyway. So, you know, it all kind of balances out and value will kind of just like find its rightful home. But yeah. And so anyway, what I was saying was, I can imagine what it's like internally with you guys. Like, do we do an ordinals project or not? I think back to, when was it exactly? Maybe like early 2022, or this was like, well, kind of beyond DeFi summer. This was NFT boom cycle, maybe like a little bit after the peak even. And Shopify, they announced like an NFT thing. And I think it was like, maybe, you know, do Shopify merch deals and whatnot through, you know, you make a store, and then I don't know exactly what it even was at this point, honestly, but they integrated NFTs somehow. And then like, it was cool for 12 hours, and then it was just so irrelevant because NFTs were just like not trending in the right direction. Then like Luna probably happened like shortly thereafter, and then Shopify now, you know, even Instagram too, like they integrated NFTs and whatnot. And then I feel like these organizations almost feel like they get like egg on their face because they're like, did I bet on the wrong thing? Like, how did we let this happen? And then now it's happening again, right? And we have to like kind of use that experience, but also be like, well, wait a minute, we also don't want to miss that first mover advantage either, right? So it's, whoever is most nimble and, you know, safe in this environment are the ones that are probably going to end up winning, or just have like such solid foundations that all these little kind of hype cycles are irrelevant to them, right? And like, that's a problem. Unless you are Shopify, you can make mistakes like that because they're a massive company, of course. But like, when you're just on the ground and trying to like capture something, it's a totally different environment that you got to kind of navigate in.
It's not easy. Wise words, Nick. I think everyone and everyone that was in some community early has a story of how they missed out. It's just how it goes. Wanted to give a shout out to API Vision that just joined us. I used to work with them. I still use their product. Fantastic product. It's like a dashboard, DeFi dashboard. I'm glad you're able to join us. Chris from Bitwave, did you want to speak? We were sending you an invite to speak. I don't know if you got it. If you are having it.
Oh, no way. I didn't realize that this was Chris from Bitwave. Chris, you might recognize us. We used to be Overclock Capital. And then we rebranded to Blank Page Studios once we started building our own products. But Chris and I, together with Steven, which Arya, you know, we used to work together. Bitwave was actually the best single product that was working at the time. They weren't focused on Solana, so it was a bit hard for us. But Chris was great to work with and the Bitwave guys.
Yeah, Chris is excellent.
Wow,
he was DMing me that he's trying to speak. I keep sending him an invite. I think I don't know if he can figure out how to accept it.
Wow, what a small world. Yeah, Chris is great. We speak to him from time to time. Let's move the conversation along. We just hit 3 o'clock and we're gonna have to wrap up in a little bit, but. I'm curious to hear from the speakers, what are you excited about for quarter three, quarter four, and then going into next year? And I'll just share a few things that I'm super excited about and looking forward to. So firstly, actually Nick brought it to my attention this morning, the Polygon upgrade, the POL token. I thought that was really cool. They're changing their token from Matic to POL. It has to go through a vote first. But essentially, this token will secure other chains that will be built on Polygon. So at first, I thought of it like the Eigenlayer protocol for the ETH asset, but I think it's just securing chains that are on Polygon. So they're trying to make it where you can have these, like, I guess, call them layer threes or subchains on Polygon, and they can all interact with each other. And then they're secured by the POL token. That is news and really exciting. Going forward next year, I'm really excited about the halving. I think it's going to be huge. I'm also really excited about Congress putting forth regulation for this space. It's hard to know, you know, there's no time for that, but it can happen any week, any day. Hopefully the sooner the better. And probably some other things that I can't think of at the moment, but yes, and a spot ETF. I think that's going to be a really exciting moment for the space and history. You know, many, many years in the making. So, David, anything in your mind?
Yeah, am I still on mute? No. I think for me personally, I've been, and Arya, you know this, we've been spending a ton of time in the mining corner of crypto. I hate to be the pessimist in the room, but I really just am looking forward to more, hopefully, bad news so I could continue to buy assets. I as much as I want regulation to come, and I know it will come, I'm very much enjoying this bear market. I'm enjoying a lot of people walking away from the space because it's allowing me to have conviction during a time where I work full time in the space. Even I have some days where I'm like, you know, is this actually here to stay? And that's coming from someone who pivoted and is in the space, like I said, full time. So, yeah, I'm just enjoying, you know, sitting and watching the backdrop kind of develop while, you know, planning how I'm going to be deeply rooted in the space. I'm excited to see where this comes years from now. I want to see what happens while it's all quiet and there's people here to stay, and I see people building and developing, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
That's a interesting perspective. I can't say I share that same perspective.
Yeah, I don't think many do.
that's rough. How about you, Vasilia?
I think it's a little bit of what you said in the first place with the regulation so up in the air. Like, obviously, you know, I'm always looking forward to regulation itself, but just kind of seeing where it settles in the next couple of years. You know, I think from our perspective, because we work with some enterprises as well, like, I've been seeing some of, like, the direction that Web2 companies are taking to enter into the Web3 space and some of what we're seeing to make that a lot more available for Web2 companies. And I think the combination of those two things, like seeing where things land, creating that structure, will allow some of those Web2 companies to move into the space. And that just like opens it up for so many more people to have access to it as well. So just kind of seeing like where that grows in a way where the space opens up to even more and more people. Obviously, like, we believe in the foundations of what's happening here. So having more people have access to it is something really excited to see kind of build out more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I have no doubt that the space will flourish. I'm like a perpetual optimist. I've been cold by other people. I don't care what Gary Gensler says. I don't care what all the old people in Congress say. They can't make the industry go away. So because of that alone, the industry won't ever go away. That's like my simple approach to it and why it's going to be here to stay. Nick, anything particular you're excited for while we wrap this up?
I'm definitely excited for, we see them kind of popping up, like some of these Bitcoin DeFi type of consumer facing applications that look similar to what you find on other chains that are, you know, totally killing it with total value locked and stuff like that. I'm definitely hoping for that on Bitcoin. It's been my dream since I've been doing DeFi, right? And I think a lot of us are just like really, you got like two camps. Some camps that are, I want Bitcoin to moon so I can like take some profits. I'm just like, look, I want to put some Bitcoin to work. And I'm hoping that this next few months we see some of that stuff popping up more and more. I'm looking forward to it.
I like that. I want my Bitcoin to work for me also. Totally with you on that, Nick. How about you, Lenny?
I was thinking while you guys were answering, so maybe I'll take it maybe a little bit of a different direction, but I'm excited for CNFTs, compressed NFTs on Solana. Chris is here with his hand. Well, I'm sure he'll get them right after, but I'm excited about compressed NFTs on Solana. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous what's happening. Like, for example, like what Drip is able to be doing right now. Like, we have a GenFC channel opened. Mm-hmm. And with literally in less than 2 weeks, it has more than 150,000 wallet subscribers. And they're doing everything possible to stop like multiple people, like the same people like creating multiple mm-hmm. accounts. And they're distributing literally millions of NFTs for pennies. Like, it's insane. I mean, like, the stats are pretty cool. Like, it's like 10,000 times cheaper than Ethereum and 100 times the speed, as an example. And I think it opens up like this whole new world for people to think about, which is like understanding and recognizing where this market is coming from. So it's specifically for example, like their largest user base is in India and Pakistan. And I think it speaks to like this whole side of like a new emerging market that can interact with NFTs in a way that wasn't able to, like, feasibly able to be done for them because of financial restraints, right? And now that you can trade these things for literally sub pennies, it now makes sense to pay attention to them, right? So it's really cool to see this entire new emerging market coming into the space and seeing how people are going to be reacting to it. You know, like right now it's art with NFTs, but you got to imagine that it's going to go bigger than that. You know, so for example, like a cool, something that I know that a few people are working on, which is something I'm excited about, is for example, like ticketing systems. So you can imagine like stadiums with 20, 30, 40,000 people in there consistently every single night. It would never make sense to have these tickets made as NFTs because of the cost to create them. But if you can create these 30,000 NFTs for literally sub pennies in total, then it might make sense to start seeing some really large use cases happening with NFTs. So I'm excited about that.
That's awesome. Yeah, compressed NFTs on Solana is it's really cool. Really, really cool. Chris from Bitwave, how you been? Thank you for joining us, and I'm happy you figured out your phone situation.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for the invitation. I was having some technical difficulties, first time joining in on a Twitter space, so there's a learning curve. But yeah, just wanted to chime in. Ari, great to reconnect. David and Lenny, it's been too long. And everyone, thank you again. Just a few trends that we've been seeing on the Bitwave side that I can mention. One, it gets back to AR and AP. We've been actually seeing clients ask us if they can pay in crypto just because they're having difficulties opening up a bank account. So it's great to be able to leverage upon technology that can account for changes in Forex if needed, if they're paying in tokens that might not necessarily be a stable token. Then, of course, we're also seeing hedge funds get into the space, a lot of DeFi activity there. And then also a big trend associated with high volume, being able to like roll up transactions is a big trend right now. We're working with companies like Magic Eden. 250 million historical transactions on Solana. That was quite the undertaking, and we had to do it via roll-ups. So I think we'll see these trends extend into the remainder of this year. And of course, it's great to work with accounting partners to be able to get that job done. So everyone, thank you again.
Chris, did you say billion or million? I missed that part.
Million. 250 million historical transactions.
Wow. Sounds like a nightmare. Very cool. Okay. I think we're going to wrap it up. Thank you all the speakers and everyone listening for being here. The conversation was very insightful. I learned a few things. I hope you all did as well. And I think we're going to do this again. I'm not sure when exactly or how frequently, but we'll definitely do this again. It was a lot of fun and educational. So thank you all.
Thank you so much. This was great.
It was awesome. Thank you so much for everyone joining.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It was awesome.
Ciao.